Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Welcome back to B&E, Wednesday morning. E. Hogan taking a little break. I got Mike Hartz joining me this morning. Appreciate that, Mike.
What up, what up?
Jumping in here. Ty, of course, and his wonderful operating over the board in every way. Yes, we did take a call in the first hour. We will probably take a call in the second hour. And maybe it'll be about something more than the Cowboys talk. But I had to get that in with you, Mike. I needed to get some Cowboys talk with you and what
appreciate
you thought about.
You starting out my early morning with some sadness.
Yeah. You know so, how's that sad?
First off, my key card key card don't work when I get here. And second, you want to beat me up with the Cowboys.
Sorry about that key card thing.
We only got to talk about it for like 5-6 more months.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah,
and we're gonna find the answers within those 5-6 more months.
We're gonna find some answers because some of those teams. Because the Eagles aren't gonna start to get bad.
No, they're not.
The Giants aren't gonna get bad.
They're gonna make some changes.
That division.
I tell you what, by
only thing's
gonna
be the same is the Commanders.
Super Bowl.
I'll be bought in exactly.
You'll be bought in again.
Oh man, we're going to the Super Bowl right after
that. And Texas is winning the national championship next year.
What do you think, man?
Texas don't have. They don't. They better not have any excuses for not being in the Big 12 championship next year. Including it's a 14-team conference next year, guys. 14. I'm trying to figure out, and we'll get back we'll get to the basketball game and stuff. I'm trying to figure out, are those four teams, who scares me the most coming into this conference to make 14? Always BYU. Always boy on a bicycle.
For sure.
That's the one that always scares me. When you say BYU around me.
Knocking at your door on Saturday, right?
Oh, I love those kids. Yeah. Believe me, I love them. They used to come to my wall.
What do you mean your wall?
Where I had
a gated community?
I had a gated house with a big old wall, and those dudes used to come up, and those kids were the nicest, quietest, politest young gentlemen that I have ever met.
I knew a lot of Mormons growing up.
They served. They wanted me to sell mag. You know, they wouldn't sell their magazines to me, and I remember them coming to my door, and I start saying, y'all really can have like two or three wives. Is that for real? Is that all that stuff for real? And I said, so how many girlfriends you got? I would ask them about their girlfriends. And you don't even want to be talking to these young, you know, they're adults, these young adults about their sex life. And here I am. I knew I could get to them. And before they went back across that wall on the bicycle, I said, come back tomorrow. I'll buy one of your magazines.
I said, they
came back the next day.
They did?
At the same time. I was waiting because I was like, these dudes ain't coming back. Dude, somebody dropped them off in the neighborhood. They came right up there. We don't want to talk. We just want you to buy the magazine.
How many magazines you get?
I bought two goofy magazines. Reader's Digest or some weird thing that you probably got for free. I bought a year subscription. And that thing would come in. As soon as it come in the mail, I just throw it right in the garbage can.
You're like, why do I have this?
I didn't even recycle it. I just threw it in the garbage. I'm like, why do I have this, man? I'm not reading this.
I was hoping that they would have sold you the almanac. That you like to use, the farmer's almanac that you like to use.
No, I'll go down to Home Depot, one of those places, and grab that, as a matter of fact.
Oh, man.
But, you know, as we're talking about the Cowboys, and I still want to, because I want to get this from you, Mike. I know there's a lot of changes that have to be made. There's things that have to be made because money-wise.
Correct.
And what Jerry has to do. One of them is not the quarterback. They're just not going to do that.
They can't.
Because you can say what you want. Who replaces that guy? If you get rid of that dude who you don't like, and can't throw it in the ocean standing at the end of the dock. I mean, who do you replace with him?
You don't. I mean, that's the thing about it. I know everybody before was saying, you know, Cooper Rush has done this, Cooper Rush has done that. But when Dak came back, everybody was excited that Dak was back.
You know what? At least Danny White could punt.
he could get us in. He could pin him back.
He could pin him back. After the three and out, he could pin him back.
He wasn't going to throw an interception, but he was going to punt it and get him on the five line. He was awesome as a punter.
Was he like the
punter? He was the full, yes.
Yes.
And the quarterback. Danny White.
Dude, that, used to, be like decently common though back in the day. Right?
That was just weird. It was still weird to me, even at that time.
I mean, Doug Flutie, he did some.
He was a drop kicker. He was the drop kicker.
Doug Flutie, the only other position he really, really played, he was a punt returner when I was at Boston College.
He was the punt returner too?
He didn't actually return punts, but he was the backup to a guy named Kelvin Martin.
Oh, I know Kelvin Martin. He was a Cowboy.
Yeah, and he could punt return.
Yeah, 83.
In case you needed someone to fair catch it or something
like that. Yeah, just don't do anything with it. Just catch it.
Yeah. But I'm with you. I'm at the point, too, like, what is the changes that need to happen for the Cowboys to exceed expectations?
You've already paid Michael Gallup too much money, Ty, I still believe. But give him another year after this knee. He came back, you know, in not the middle of the season.
He did look hesitant.
Right, he's never got that explosion that he had.
Agreed.
Now, he could come across the middle because he's so tall and get up in the air and make catches. But he didn't come out of cuts the way he did before.
Correct.
So give him another year.
You kind of have to, though. You have to give him a year because of the contract.
Is T.Y. Hilton just too old?
I think so.
Is he a guy that's going to be?
I think he was a rental. I think he was definitely a rental. I think he made a couple plays. There were some opportunities there for him.
Never had a game where he had over three catches, I don't believe.
And he dropped a couple passes that he should have caught. Yes. The ball hit his hands multiple times, and he did not come down with the big catch. So I look at that.
By the way, I still believe we should have never got rid of
– well, Zeke is willing to take a pay cut. I don't know what that entails. I don't know how that affects your cap if you're going to move it around because I heard you guys talking about
They're going to get capped no matter what you do with
him. He has to pay. You're going to have to pay. You're going to have to pay it at some point. It's going to be on your books for a while, so you need to make sure you do that no matter how you break it up. But I'm also looking at the fact, too, that you say Dan Quinn could be gone. You got Kellen Moore that could be gone.
Mm-hmm.
But contractually, you're looking at, we were talking about it, how early do you start working on Micah Parsons' deal?
Next year.
You have to start looking at it because that's part of your cap as well.
I don't want him to have even a thought
of leaving.
Ever.
Right. And then you look at Diggs.
I got to watch out. Look at Ty looked at me. As soon as I said the word ever, he said, okay there, Zeke.
And Diggs as well. You start looking at him. He's your number one defensive back. He's your number one corner. You're going to end up having to pay him.
Even though he wouldn't bust a grape.
I'm looking at the defensive side of the ball. And you still got to look at what, okay, you were talking about it earlier. Tyron Smith. What are you going to do with this guy? Like, yeah, you're right. He came back. He worked hard to get back.
See, my partner believes he's still when he's healthy. But he's not going to be healthy for a whole year.
He's never healthy.
He can't stay healthy. He's too old to stay healthy.
Exactly.
He's had too many injuries.
He looks like a Greek god when you look at him. I mean, he's in great shape.
And he moved okay, but that's just for a number of games. He can't go 17 in an 18-game season.
Not at all.
Not going to be there.
No, he's not that guy anymore. And then you look at the young player, Tyler Smith, who I was against them drafting. He came in and played great. I thought he was a mauler. I thought he had everything you could want from him. But I told Rod this yesterday. I said, Connor McGovern is a priority for me because you can never have too many good linemen.
Sure.
You have to have linemen. I think that's one of the biggest things that they need to look at, and I think they need to re-sign LVE. I don't know what the price is going to be for him, but you brought it up earlier, Buck. When he was out, you saw that there were problems. There were problems. So, and you don't have that many draft picks where you can get, you can rebuild the system. There's not enough there. You're going to have some good, decent numbers, but how many impactful guys? The biggest problem for me this past year was they went out and they signed James Washington. What did he do? Got released. Wasn't even a factor for this team. And then they went and drafted Jalen Tolbert, the wide receiver from South Alabama. What'd you get from him? Nothing.
Sometimes they look to those little schools and say, we're going to find a diamond in the rough. There ain't a lot of those diamond in the roughs. You can try that stuff all you want to.
Right.
You know, we talk about, jump to the Sun Belt and all that. No, there ain't that many diamond
work.
In the rough.
It
no.
didn't work.
Every
I thought he was
going to
be at it. I saw him up close and personal, but I saw him against some people that he was better than.
Yes.
But when you get to the league, everybody's good.
As you said, number 18, the wide receiver from the Giants that came off the practice squad, We saw what happened to him when somebody when good somebody was on the other side of him.
Oh, they were like, oh, you wanted to shine last week?
Yeah.
Lock you up.
They locked him up.
Exactly.
You came off the practice squad. You think you're going to come out here on me?
No, bro. We can't let you do that. So, yeah, I mean, this is going to be a trying time for the Dallas Cowboys. And as a Dallas Cowboy fan, I truly am not looking forward to a lot of the changes that are about to happen.
Well, for me, Dan Quinn is one of the big ones. People can say you can go find a defensive coordinator.
Vic Fangio. If you're going to lose Dan Quinn, you got to go get Dick Fangio.
And he's thinking about the Dolphins.
And he has been interviewed by the Dolphins as their defensive coordinator.
Well, you either tell Dan to
make a decision so I can get that interview
right
away.
Yeah, because I can't miss out. When you go, if you are going, or if you're staying, I'm going to have to pay you like a head coach. And that's coming out of my pocket. That's Jerry. Right. That doesn't cost you anything.
That don't cost you anything. That's not against your salary cap.
No, I pay him.
You can pay what you need to pay.
I pay him, again, whatever he wants to get. If you want to be paid like a head coach for a year, I'll pay you that way if you're staying.
Yep.
If you decide that I'm thinking about this job, maybe I take it because I'm hot right now, or I stay with the Dallas Cowboys for another year, I'm Jerry. I go in there. I like you. I mean, I heard bells, and I'll pay you like a head coach. If you are to stay with me for a year, I'll pay you like you were a head coach. How's that?
I love it.
I don't need you messing with Mike McCarthy. Leave the Hamburglar alone. Let him go ahead and make those decisions. I need you coaching this defense better or the way it was last year. I'll pay you like a head coach.
Right.
And then if you want to go look for a job, you go ahead. Because there'll be jobs over next year. You know that. 7-8 jobs in the NFL will be open.
Somebody's
again
on the hot seat coming in the next year.
They always are.
They always are.
Yeah, and I think that's how you do it with him. He's one of the most important players on the parts of that defense that you got.
For sure.
And DeMarcus Lawrence, once again, that dude is good.
He played outstanding this year. You know who didn't play outstanding in this game against the 49ers? Dorrance Armstrong. You know who else the Cowboys went out and got? Dante Fowler. Where was he? He was another guy.
What happened to Odigi? What happened to him? I didn't see him. Did he play in the game the other day?
That is the thing.
What happened to those dudes?
They played a lot of Carlos Watkins, a lot of Jonathan Hankins just for the
run
game.
Support. Yeah. I agree with that. But you still look at it, those guys that were making impact – During the season.
When you need them in the playoffs to continue to go on.
Because we're going to be critical of all these players and who showed up and who didn't.
Right.
Those are the guys
Zua
that
didn't show up. I mean,
no.
I didn't see him do very much in
no.
that. I'm thinking, come on, man.
No.
I see in these other games, you show up.
Yeah, that's what you're supposed to do. This is, big-time players, man. Big-time players make big-time plays in these types of games, and we didn't have our players make those types of plays.
All right, back to Longhorn basketball. 89-75, nice win for the Horns last night. A sweep of Oklahoma State, the series all done. Good job by everybody last night. This was a very aggressive basketball game by this basketball team.
Yeah.
And Ronnie Terry has these guys, I think, now where you don't have to have these special meetings to play defense. You know
right,
what I'm saying?
Right.
Remember they had to, after that one game where they just didn't play any defense, they talked about it, they got it done.
They didn't even have no ball at practice. They were just playing.
A mature team that just says, you know what, we got it, coach. We understand what you're talking about.
Yeah.
We got to play defense every night. I thought they did that. They did a good job of that, but they pushed the ball up the court. You know, and it took me a while. I said that, when we started first talking about them, I started to think about the game, and I'm like, damn, they did push that ball up the court a little bit.
They did. They didn't get a lot of fast break points, but they got a chance to get the ball over the court to get into their offense a lot sooner than what they were doing before.
You mean bounce, and there's 8 seconds to go,
goodness,
and here we go.
And then they start scrambling, and it's like, I don't like that type of basketball.
Is that when Marcus Carr ends up holding the ball too long for himself?
He does have the ball in his hand, but again, he was on point last night.
Yes.
So you can take it, but a lot of guys just stand around and start watching the basketball. And that's the frustrating part for me. When Texas is not going well, it's because a lot of guys are standing around.
Brock Cunningham hitting those threes, guys. Is that – I mean, he played 24 minutes. I mean, I don't know how many more minutes you can get. But will he start seeing more minutes as an offensive player now, you think?
No, I just think that's going to be his role. I think that's huge for him.
If it's open in the three-pointer, hit it, please.
Take it without hesitation. Because,
okay,
like I said before, at the beginning, when he first got to the University of Texas, he was hesitant. You know why? Because that wasn't his role. They weren't looking at him to be a scorer. His job was to come in and be physical and be that glue guy to go out there and bring the energy. Because, I mean, you hear it all the time. Ty, you got a chance to watch him when he was in high school. He's a guy that brings energy and elevates the crowd. He gets the crowd involved because he's not the flashiest. He's not a high riser. He's that guy that
there's a loose ball, I'm dying. Yes,
yeah, he's the guy everybody can relate to. And they love it when he comes in, especially because when he has his jorts out there wearing his jean shorts, everybody, there's a trend. Now it's like, oh, man, he's knocking down shots, so people have to respect him now.
24 minutes about it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If you have to stretch him out, that's not his game. You're not going to have him out there.
You want him, I mean, he's never going to not be trying.
Oh, for 100%. Sure.
But you don't want him tired and
but
trying
if you can
and
have
fouling.
Him fresh, yeah, that's another issue. Is he's unacceptable to foul.
Exactly. He's a little physical. Well, that was a football
well,
player.
Well, this group averages about almost 27 points off the bench. That's,
exactly.
That's pretty good bench play because last night, Oklahoma State didn't get anything off their bench.
No, it was
I
good.
I mean, there's teams in the Big
Texas.
12 that just don't have a bench like Texas has.
No doubt.
Where they can come off and score like they did last night.
It's like you said, man, it's the depth. There's so many people that are coming off of that bench that contribute. You look at the sixth man. You look at Serge Ibari Rice as the sixth man. He's a starter. He's a starter. He gets starter minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the end of the game, who's on the floor? Him. So he's clutch for them. So that's huge. And I like the way Coach Terry is rotating these guys in and out. You know,
it's sure.
Certain guys playing with a certain group, and then all of a sudden that group changes, that guy comes off, and he gets the feel. I thought last night early in the game, I thought Dylan Mitchell's hustle was very important.
Oh,
those
yeah.
Second chance points that they were getting, the rebounds early in the game, running the floor, still getting up and down. I thought he played a big part in the early success of the game last night.
Yeah, and Timmy Allen, when he gets 15 to 17 points, he yep. has to have that. I don't care how tall the guy is that's on him.
Yep.
Because he ain't getting any taller, and I say that every time I come on. That dude is not getting any taller. He is what he is. But he has, in order for them to, I still believe, win games, he's got to be in those high teens in scoring, or yep. they will struggle. If they're not really, you know, like last night you shot like 62% from three, okay, that is fantastic. But when you just have a regular game and you're shooting a lot of twos and not a lot of threes and hitting them,
right?
He has to be in those high teens because he can't be 9 points like the other night and 7 points. He can't
right,
do that. You won't win the
that.
Games
they
with him doing that.
But the thing about last night was they didn't shoot that many threes. They just took
a high percentage, though.
Yeah, high percent. They shot a high percentage, but it was because yeah. they were all good looks, you know, and having Brock going 3 for 3 and having Timmy Allen in the second half being able to create for himself
sure.
down low. It really helps that out because if a team does have to double him down low, that opens things up for guys like Brock.
Yep.
You know, he's the first guy that
sure.
his man's going to leave him.
Well, you got to remember this too. Last night, Texas shot 27 free throws and were 85% from the free throw line. That's huge because we've seen it go the other way as well.
Absolutely.
And they got some calls in those times where they weren't getting calls
before.
Or
they should. You're at home. You yep. better be getting the calls.
You would think so.
Say Morgantown. You know,
this is Big 12, though. Big 12 don't like Texas. Remember?
That's right. On the way out the door, I forgot about that, too. I forgot. It's not just football.
It's not just football. They try to give it to you in all shapes and fashion.
Yeah,
but
you're right.
I like the way that they went about the game last night. The game plan seemed to be perfect. The execution was where it needed to be. I like you said earlier, but
yeah, Brian and Terry's not having any of these practices, these – like you said, no ball. They understand. It's
they
a mature team.
It.
They should understand about playing good
right.
defense all the time.
I'm sitting here looking at it right now. You got two guys that are grad students that are playing on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a big difference when you look at that. And if three players are graduate students that are playing at one time, yeah, you should be smart enough to know what you should and should not be doing.
All right, you're right about that. All right, Will, can we take a break, Ty? Because we want to come back and talk a little baseball or with Harge when we have him here.
Yeah, it's fun.
You know, we got to do that. We got to talk a little baseball.
we got to talk
some Texas baseball.
I need a preview.
And we also got to talk some Hall of Fame stuff and when is Pete Rose going to get into the Hall of Fame.
I'm with you on that, bud.
MGM Grand and we're doing all this gambling and betting in professional sports, when are they going to drop this whole Pete Rose thing and put that guy in the Hall of Fame where he belongs?
Haters gonna hate, man.
Is just totally ridiculous
I
now.
I agree.
To the point of all our sports, are involved in
they
gambling.
They got sports books in the arenas.
Yeah, that's nonsense.
you can go place a wager while the game is going on
nonsense.
At a sports book.
Yeah, that's nonsense. We'll take a quick break. B&E on Wednesday.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Welcome back to B&E. Wednesday, hump day. Mike Hart's joining me this morning.
What up,
Ty
what
doing
up?
That great job that he always does, and we do appreciate that. Tomorrow, Monty Williams, Old Man Radio, appears for 2 days, at least for 2 hours. So you don't want to miss it. Don't pretend that you, I'm not tuning in from 6 to 8 with those two old dudes talking. Yes, you will. You do love that part. Monty will be joining me tomorrow from 6 to 8 on Thursday and Friday. Zay will come in with him. We'll talk a lot of basketball with Zay. But, Mike, baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball is about to be on our minds with this Texas Longhorn baseball team. Hall of Fame guys getting into the Hall of Fame or nominated to the Hall of Fame, and then those that probably will never get nominated. And before we go into the Longhorn baseball, the whole thing on Pete Rose, you know, and I was one of the advocates of right there when you go into locker rooms, it says you cannot gamble on sports. I mean, I've been in the locker
spring
room.
Spring training, that's the first thing that they tell us when we walk in there. We have a meeting, and that Major League Baseball comes and tells you.
Yeah,
I've seen it.
Saw it in the New York Giants when I was with the Giants for that 3 or 4 weeks. I saw it right there. It says, you cannot gamble.
Right. And now you sit here, and I love this right here. The same texter, Locksmith Alex says.
Yeah.
Same principle applies to Pete Rose that applied to Reggie Bush and his Heisman. It was against the rules when he did it, mm-hmm. and he knew the consequences when he did it. Changes the rules now, doesn't change the rule then. So here's the deal when I say that. You do realize that Reggie Bush just got inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame.
Right.
So they are looking at Reggie Bush and everything that we saw him get awarded the Heisman Trophy.
Right.
I saw Pete Rose get over 4,000 hits. We'll probably never get touched again because now the game has totally changed. People are trying to hit home runs. They don't care about their batting average. They don't care. They can strike out as much as they want and still get paid.
And while the game changes, the game outside the game has changed. They have put gambling into
every commercial.
They put it in our society on everything.
Every commercial. Major League Baseball is benefiting from gambling. They are running ads. They are having the DraftKings is everywhere.
Yes.
My bookie, BetUS, everybody is benefiting from this. Now, Pete Rose knows what he did was wrong. He's thrown himself on the mercy of the court.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of players that have done worse things than bet on a baseball game. We've had some people.
Well, we've had a lot of people that have murdered people that have gotten away with it.
Exactly, that have gotten away with it and still have their ways with life.
Yeah.
So at the time, it was wrong. But now that Major League Baseball
is a part of gambling, I know.
It's a big time part of gambling. You got them. You can
NFL,
go into arena.
Everything is.
Yeah, you could go in an arena and place a bet while you're getting a beer. Why are you going to the restroom? Oh, you know what? I feel like placing this bet right now.
Yeah, that's
I'm
just kind of weird. It just seems so. You know, I wasn't, you know, when MGM and all these other people, when they were thinking about it, you know, team in Vegas, I was worried about a team in Vegas.
Right.
I was like the old dude, I don't know, you can't have a team in Vegas, gambling, right? I mean, it's right.
Right.
But now that they've just infiltrated gambling into all the pro sports, I'm thinking.
Everywhere.
So you're really going to hold this guy out for something to happen way back then?
Especially because it's the Hall of Fame. Pete Rose is the all-time hits leader. He played the game for a long time. He's been a part of, you don't, people still walk around talking about Charlie Hustle.
Yes,
that was Pete Rose. And we all know what he's been able to do.
I watched him play with the Machine. I mean,
exactly. And people forget he played with the Montreal Expos as well. He's been around the game for a long time, and then he became a manager. So to me, I believe that he deserves to be in there. Now, as far as the Hall of Fame itself and what we are looking at nowadays on what they're giving people, what they're making you get into the Hall of Fame and not get into the Hall of Fame
well,
for.
Well, Carlos Beltran is not.
That's,
they're not trying to hold out one of the great left-hand, right-hand bat switch hitters of all time.
Right, because of something that happened after his playing days again. It's so crazy now, the holier-than-thou thought process with some of these writers and the grudges that they hold. It's frustrating. It's frustrating because you're older than I, Bucky. You've seen a lot of great baseball players. You've seen the game change. You've
seen
it evolve.
The Brooks Robinsons,
you've
everybody.
You've seen all of them that have been inducted
Willie
into
Mays.
The Hall of Fame and those that have been held out. But for the Hall of Fame to continue every single year, Last year they had Fred McGriff as the lone inductee. This year they have Scott Rolen as the lone inductee. I'm looking at Billy Wagner. Why is Billy Wagner not in there? Because I'll give you some stats a little bit later. He should be in the Hall of Fame, too, just off of his stats. Mariano Rivera, do you think it's absurd? And I'll ask all of you that. Chipper Jones went into the Hall of Fame. I think he got 96% of the votes. Ken Griffey Jr. did not get 100% of the votes. And Mariano Rivera became the only person in baseball history to get 100% of the votes.
Because he's a Yankee, of course. Well, he should. I'm not going to argue with that. You're right. He should have been the only one.
It is crazy to me when you look at who gets in and who does not. When you go back and you look at, you do that blind comparison that they like to do on TV where it says, this guy had this amount of stats, and he did this, this, and this. And this guy did this, this, and this. This guy's in the Hall of Fame, and this guy is not.
Yeah, it's crazy. Your Astros Hall of Fame pitcher is getting in there. He's on the same team that were bashing cans and doing – he knew exactly what was going on.
He was part of the team. He was part of the team. Your leader. Verlander's going to be Verlander a Hall of Famer.
Could he not have said, hey, guys, we can't do this?
And maybe he did, and they went against him. Maybe they did. But – he was part of that.
You don't think he's not getting in?
He is definitely getting in. And I was telling you guys during the break, that steroid era. Just because you did steroids doesn't make you that great of a player.
There was a lot of guys that did. There wasn't no good.
They were not very good. They were using steroids to look good in their uniform. It wasn't making him an elite level type of player. It's just crazy to me. I played with those guys. I've seen it up close and personal. Some of those guys, they were just taking steroids to take steroids.
Well, Barry Bonds, it did.
Barry Bonds was better than everybody on the baseball field.
He was already
prior to that.
Yes, yeah. But it made for the home run chase. I think it definitely
Barry Bonds
helped
was
him out a little bit.
Was a 30-30 and a 40-40 guy. Dude was a baller
year in year out before. Before the Madden started,
and he was a Gold Glove outfielder. Everybody, just because you took steroids, don't make you a good baseball player.
Still have to have eye discipline.
You still have to hit. You still have to be able to play. You still have to go out there and show up every single day. And some of these
guys
that are getting
in,
it didn't work for everybody. I'll tell you that for sure.
Some Longhorn baseball, hard as we get ready, with Coach and the group that he'll have coming back.
Yeah,
Ivan Melendez will not be walking through that door again.
Not at all. Neither will Douglas Hodo. Neither will Trey Faltini. Neither will
some leadership
Kessinger. Think about this. Think about what Texas had last year and the numbers that were put up that were pretty astronomical. Trey Faltini, Douglas Hodo, and Murphy Staley, and Skylar Messenger, Silas Ardoin are all gone. You're replacing all of that. And not only are you replacing that, that's 105 home runs that are now not walking through that door.
Man.
Then you got to go to the pitcher's mound, and you're going to be missing Pete Hansen, who was a big guy for you. Tristan Stevenson is no longer going to be there.
All Americans, yeah.
That's 29 weekend starts, gentlemen. That's 29 weekend starts that are going to be gone. Oh, yeah, by the way, you're going to be missing Troy Tulowitzki and Sean Allen in the dugout, leadership. But you brought in some guys.
Oh, so we're going to have a lot of tryouts at pitching. Is guys going to get on the mound and be trying out?
There's a lot of guys that are.
Do we have tryouts?
You remember the story of everybody talking about the 20-inning scrimmages that they were going through for people to establish themselves? There's going to be a lot of that going on to see who is ready for the prime time.
God, I remember Little League tryouts where you had a little number on your back.
Oh, my goodness.
You sit in the dugout, and then they call you out, and they start hitting.
325. 325.
I was more
next.
Like 752. Shortstop. Let's go.
Yeah, this is going to be – this, and Texas isn't ranked in the top 25. Texas has a lot to prove. And somebody asked me what I thought about them not being in it. I thought it was okay. I thought it was okay because the expectations now is you've been overlooked. People aren't looking at you as that type of team. So are you going to be able to rally with your new pitching coach, Woody Williams? He's bringing in a couple guys from San Jack that might have a chance to be able to be an influence.
You're
going
to have pitching that's not here now that is coming in here. New
that's
guys
right.
that come in.
That you don't know of if you haven't been following it as tough. I think these guys are going to be able to make an impact early. But the biggest challenge for them is going to be, hey, you're going up to Arlington early in the year. Remember a couple years ago when COVID hit? Mm-hmm. Well, not COVID. It was the ice storm.
You're going to be doing a bunch of games this year, aren't you?
And then, yeah, I'm going to be doing a bunch of games. I'll get a chance to do the State Farm Globe Life Classic early this year. I get to do all the Texas games for Flow Baseball. But you sit there and you watch what's happening. And you say, okay, that year they went up there and they ran into a bus, all the pitching staffs that they had. But what did they do when the season was by the end of the season? They were in the mix.
Mm-hmm.
They were in the mix because they had to take it on the chin early in the season. I don't know how good this team's going to be. I don't think anyone can walk in and say that they are going to be top of the line.
Expectations are going to be always where they always are.
Absolutely.
Here.
Absolutely. You look at what LSU's bringing back and what they got in the transfer portal. They're the number one team in the nation preseason. You look at Tennessee. Another preseason All-American. I mean, another big-time team. But nobody in the Big 12 is going to stand out except for Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State is a team, and TCU, mm-hmm. of course. They're going to be the two teams that everybody's looking at. But Texas is coming in under the radar, and I'm happy that they are. I know everybody wants Texas to be in the top 10, number one in the nation, sure. all that great stuff, because that's what we expect. But right now, I like where they are coming in under
the
radar.
That home run power that you're talking about.
105 home runs are gone. And you think about what Douglas Hodo was in center field and at the leadoff position. Trey Faltini, sure-handed at mm-hmm. shortstop. Messenger at third base. You got to replace all of that. You got to replace your entire
infield. Or you got Messenger from somewhere else. You got to find
somebody. From Kansas.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what they did. They went out and got some guys. And I believe
we just don't know the names
yet. Right,
really.
Exactly. There will be some names that pop out, and as we get closer, I'll be sure to make sure that we continue to give you all the information when it comes down to Texas baseball.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, come back. I want to talk to Hards a little bit about Big 12 football. I know it's way, way too early, but it's never too early to talk football
never.
Here on B&E. Welcome back to B&E, Wednesday hump day. Mike Harsh joined me this morning, E. Hogan, taking a little bit of a break. And Harsh couldn't get in this morning, y'all. And that's a damn shame.
Bro.
Not really. I was worried about him. Things happen around this place. You know that now.
We're
missing people on MLK weekend. And I'm thinking, Harsh's like, hey, my key's not working. I'm like, what? I said, it's not even Black History Month yet. We didn't even start February. What do you mean you can't get in the building?
I'm like, Buck, I need you, bro. Can you come down here? And then we get halfway down the hallway, and I was like, nope, didn't work there. Let's go to the other door. Let me see what happens here. Nope, didn't work there. He's like, uh-oh. Let me see. I come in, and I start sending out an email, see if my email still worked. It worked.
There you go.
It worked. I got a response.
I guess once you know that part is going on. It's about that key, though.
It's about that key. It's all about that key. I felt like Jamal Adams trying to get into the New York Jets training facility.
Yeah, I'm about
key
to.
Key just didn't work.
You know, next week I've got some days off, and I'm about to take a little extra there for my MLK day that I worked during that Monday.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Right. We deserve that.
Yeah, I'm going to get that probably not happen again if I'm around. I got to get through the month. I got to get through the month of February.
Hey, February, but it's only 28 days.
That's so right. The shortest month.
It might be leap year. I don't know. Let me check.
Mike, we've got, you know, like I said, it's never too early to start talking about Big 12 football and the Texas Longhorns. And congratulations to Chris Jackson, who's now the new wide receiver coach.
Mm-hmm.
Texas has a wide receiver coach, which is good. That means he's probably in town by now. He's at the winter workouts, getting to know these players at wide receiver, getting to know all the players. It's not just your position, but you got to have a feel for everybody. And the sooner, the better, I thought, you know. And to have a guy of his experience, you know, in the National Football League to come and coach your players. This is a guy who doesn't have to be your buddy. He needs to be your coach.
Correct.
And get you to do the things that you need to do. And one thing that needs to be done, this pass game needs to get really, really together, because this pass game is what's going to truly carry this group, I believe. The offensive line and the passing game will carry this group, because you're not even going to tell me, and you can keep saying and tell me such and such did this in high school. To replace Bijan Robinson in that running back room and Roschon Johnson and Roschon, you know, That's going to be hard to do. You can think about doing it. You can say this guy does this and does that. None of them that are in that room right now can do what Bijan Robinson can do.
No, but when Bijan came here, your initial thoughts of him? Thought he was a talented back. Didn't know how durable he was going to be.
I thought he was as good as Priest Holmes.
And it took Priest a while, right?
Yes, it did. And didn't take this kid that while. Have you seen him a couple times?
Yeah. Then all of a sudden, he became that guy. So I would be – I'm looking at Cedric Baxter that way. I'm gonna say, okay, you look at his numbers. He looks okay. We're gonna give him an opportunity. He comes in. He's a bigger kid.
A lot of good running backs come out of the state of Florida. Exactly. I got that. Emmitt Smith, one of the greatest high school running backs of all time.
Muscambia. Pensacola.
Yeah.
But you sit there, and Emmitt wasn't that guy, right? Like, you look at him, he had great numbers, but when he went to Florida, it was like, okay, who am I behind? What am I going to do to get there? And I'm looking at Cedric Baxter, and I'm saying, okay, let's see where he is in 3 years. Let's compare it to what Bijan was his freshman year. But I think the coaching staff is totally different than what Bijan had when he got here.
Sure.
We talked about it. I think he was underutilized his freshman year.
He was underutilized last year.
He was kind of like what you did to Ricky, not getting him 1,000 yards.
Does this always have to come up?
I just got to see why you didn't give my man 1,000 yards.
He needed 10 yards.
10 yards. It's not your job.
It's not my job.
It was Bianco's, right? You needed Bianco to come and talk to you about it?
If the SID tells me that, or somebody makes a call down there, you know, I've been in games before. I've been in games, you know, where Howard Griffith needed another touchdown. He breaks the all-time record in a game where 8 touchdowns.
SID come and talk to you?
Yeah. Somebody had to do is to let me know.
All right. So you're going to put this on Bianco or whoever the
I've been
SID
doing it for years.
So you're going to leave it on him?
Yeah. I didn't run around the day before the game saying, Ricky, okay, when we get to this certain amount, you only need 10. I wasn't paying attention. We're playing against Texas A&M. I'm trying to beat Texas A&M. I'm trying to win the game. I'm not worried about that dude's records
right.
as a freshman getting 1,000 yards. Okay, if he got 990, guess what? He's still there the next year.
Right.
We'll get 2,000 or whatever we had to get, but I'm not worried about that.
Good point.
To beat the Aggies up in here.
Good point. But that's why I'm saying Tom Herman didn't understand what he had in Bijan. He was trying to protect him for whatever reason and not letting him excel.
I think the present coach didn't know what he had.
I think the present coach didn't. Well,
Keyonte Ingram is a pretty good back, too. I mean, he's an NFL-level guy. I mean,
he's in the NFL, you're right.
Yeah, and he did lose us some games.
Yep, but they were sharing it. Yeah, but there was opportunity. Well, okay, let's take it one step further. Why didn't you have both of them in the backfield like my man Buck did? Put Ricky at fullback. And put Priest in the backfield and Hodges Mitchell and everybody else.
Why didn't we run more of that this year with Roshan and Bijan? I mean, that was the whole point of bringing Brendan Marion in.
That was the point that we were talking about. That's the point that we were trying to say is I think we have underutilized those backs in that situation.
Yeah,
and I think it's something that he needs to understand. I had something back there, two great backs back there.
Well, when you're 13 and 12 in your two years, there's a lot that has to be realized going into your third year.
Do you think that's a reason why Brendan Marion decided to move on, though?
I know.
I mean, he got an offensive coordinator opportunity, obviously, but just the underutilization of his kind of scheme.
You just don't know how much say a person has on your staff.
But last offseason, he was the guy that they were bringing in to, you know, like shake things up a little bit, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yep.
I was hoping
we didn't see much of that this year.
Well, I was hoping that the principles behind a guy going from Pittsburgh to the University of Texas or a college coach is to do the fundamentals the right way, is to teach the fundamentals.
Yeah.
What I didn't see is just the basic fundamentals of the game for guys. I mean, it's great to have all the different, you know, all the rigmarole, all the great schemes and everything, but when the fundamentals are missing, it's not going to play out. That's what I thought was missing. That was weird, and that was weird for me.
That was very weird.
I'm like, wait a minute, Coach Marion's brought here. He wants to be a coordinator and everything else, but the fundamentals of the game with the players and this guy not being able to do that, or this guy or not listening to what you have to say to get this stuff done. That's the part of coaching. That's why I say this guy right now, Chris Wright, been in the NFL. You're going to be listening to him.
Yeah,
Chris. I expect the fundamentals of the game. Or guess what? If you can't do the fundamentals of the game, somebody else can. And that's why the depth at this wide receiver position, and I'm not even saying names because, well, we already know who the names are. But listen, if you can't do the fundamentals, son, you got somebody else that does the fundamentals. You know, they've dipped in the portal. They brought guys in. This should be we thought last year that room – we thought the running back room was going to be filled, but we also thought the wide receiver room was going to be –
We did think the wide receiver room was going to be great.
But when you don't do the fundamentals of the game, if you're not doing the fundamentals of squatting down and bending the right way, the ball's going between your legs.
Absolutely.
You got to help your quarterback out.
You do have to help your quarterback out.
Especially a young quarterback like Quinn Ewers was last year. They did nothing to, you know, if it was a bad throw from Quinn, there was a 0% chance anyone was going to sell out, besides Jordan Whittington, when they did.
Whenever they did get him the ball. And I thought he
was. By the way, Quinn Ewers won't have any excuses this year either.
No, there would be no more excuses.
Like I said, this is the no-excuse tour.
Right.
On the way out of the Big 12 this year for me, I have Texas right now as the number one team, Big 12, going into to this year. With 10 returning guys on offense coming back and a defense – if they played half as good as they played last year, still be all right.
No Texas Tech?
Well, Texas Tech ain't far behind now.
Well, you know everything runs through Lubbock.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, I still have Texas. I've got the farewell tour going on. Because OU, with Gabriel coming back, they had a top five recruiting class. They're going to have some players. They've gone into the portal. I think it'll be Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas State, who returns that whole offensive line.
But they're missing Deuce.
They'll find Deuce. They won't quite find a guy, but they'll be okay. Right.
Their Deuce is to them what Bijan Robinson is to the University of Texas. But I want to go
back. But they got a mighty offensive line coming back.
But I want to go back to what you said about Chris Jackson and him coming in. And I appreciate you as a coach saying he doesn't need to be their friend.
Uh-uh.
It's like parenting, right? Our job is not to be your friend. We could be friendly, but my job is to raise you and make sure that you are an upstanding citizen.
Yeah,
and
he knows. Chris Jackson knows the reason why he's here.
That's right. He needs to get these guys, to your point, back to the fundamentals. We shouldn't have as many drops as we had last year, especially with the talent that they have at the wide receiver position. I think that's a huge, huge responsibility of what he needs to do.
And by the way,
he gets here.
And even though he's a pro coach, the guy who's the head coach here has been in the pros. He's been a head coach before. He understands offense.
Yep.
I mean, he coached Reggie Bush. I mean, he understands where guys need to be. His hand in all of this stuff has to be a bigger hand in it.
Yep.
You know what I mean? I think he's still got an offensive-minded guy he's supposed to still hire. They still have that position still open. Obviously, everybody needs the DA, the dumbass coach, that says, what are you doing, dumbass?
Right.
You shouldn't be doing it. You need to be running the ball right now.
Get back. Get back.
Yeah. Everybody needs one. They got one last year. They got a veteran DA on defense, which is – I hope Gary's still going to be around. But, yeah, he needs one on offense because he needs his hand in the offense. That means that practice, the head coach who generally walks around kind of eyeballing some of the stuff that goes on, but – to be a head coach, you know, you peacock around the practice field.
Absolutely.
He needs to be in that, where those wide receivers are, in on them. He needs to be coaching Coach Jackson to what his offense is all about. I know you may know the guy, but you need to be coaching that same guy who's an NFL-type coach, because you can get the fundamentals. That guy will know the fundamentals.
Correct.
And by the way, if the guys don't do what the fundamentals are, you got other people that you just say, sorry, you're not in there this week.
Right.
I mean, I don't know. What else can I say
to
you?
There's a lot of depth there. And to your point, Todd, there may be some people moving on when the portal opens back up in the spring. But I'm with you on that, Buck. I mean, there's so much competition in there. And you know, you've been there. You've been on the field and you've been coaching it. Competition brings the best out of everybody.
Or it'll bring the best out of you if you get ready to lose your job.
Exactly.
I know that.
Exactly. And everybody needs to go out there to be fighting for a job. No job should be secure. And he preaches every year is a competition. What did he say at the press conference at the end of the year? The quarterback position is open.
Yeah. We got into a little of that Tom Herman stuff with him last year. When guys weren't playing at their best, they were still back in the game in the next series. That always bothers me. That always bothers me as a coach. I mean, I've put Ricky Williams down before.
Were you if your running back fumbles, you got to sit out at least a series?
No, I don't.
Coach?
I don't play that game. No, you're going back in.
No,
there.
You're gonna go back in.
Yeah,
that.
Just don't do that again. I didn't do footballs and
running
arms.
Missing, what about if a running back missed like two pass blocking?
Then he won't be in there. That won't happen
because that's affecting everybody else as well.
Yeah, you're gonna get somebody killed. You're gonna get somebody killed.
You're getting your quarterback killed.
Which is gonna get me not paid.
And I play quarterback. And if I got back to the line of scrimmage and I had to rearrange my helmet, then we're going to have a conversation about it.
I would look at guys that came out of high school, and because I never wanted the excuse, because Mac used to give the excuse when he didn't play guys early, he can't pass protect. And I used to go, then you probably don't have the right running back coach. I used to look at guys in high school, and the minute they came here, they were on a 7-man sled, and they go, we're running backs. What are we doing on this 7-man sled? You have to pass protect, too. I know what you can do as a runner. But I'm going to find out what you can do as a pass protector.
That's what gets you to the next level.
Exactly.
If you're an excellent pass protector, that can get you places.
No doubt.
You just got to protect. Yeah, I mean, you're protecting everybody. That's part of your job is to be a pass protector. And the whole thing about, well, he's too young. Well, then he's too young to be on the field.
Right.
If he can't pass protect. I mean, that's the number one thing at the running back position, because guys aren't attuned to pass protecting. So that's the first thing you get to him.
Yep.
Hell, the running part, that's how you got here.
That's why I say wide receiver.
I'm like, well, that's why you got a scholarship, because you can catch the ball.
Right.
So how the hell are you still here if you can't catch the ball?
Agree.
How'd you get a scholarship to Texas if you can't catch? That never made sense to me.
Yeah, it's a tough road to hoe right now. Texas Longhorns, I love the fact of where you put them, and I hope that they can continue to push that envelope, because I know the expectations
but the
are
road,
high.
Some of the road will go through Lubbock in the top three or four teams in there, I believe, next year.
He's back.
Yeah, yeah. Joey McGuire not only won eight games, he got a win in a bowl game, too.
I think
there, some of that road is going to go that way. TCU, will they be the same? We'll talk about that. Let's take a quick break, come back, talk a little bit more about that on B&E.